Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Hi again, it's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. I'm an author of sexless marriage fiction. I had a long-term sexless marriage of my own, and then I wove my true narrative into a new story. But I'll talk more about that a little bit later. Today's podcast is about sexual entitlement. Sexual entitlement. What are we entitled to when it comes to sex and marriage? Let's stop right here for a moment. Put your foot on the brakes. We're about to venture into dangerous territory. Sexual entitlement. These are very dangerous words. If you were to throw these particular ones at your spouse, they are more likely to find something to throw right back at you, and it won't be words. If there were any chance you might have had to repair your sexual life together before uttering them, they might have ended it right there and then. It is a very hard topic to talk about, and it doesn't matter whether you are in the role of the husband or the wife. You're responsible for each other's needs, and the sexual ones come as part of the deal. So, without a spouse nearby, or within earshot of this podcast, you and I can speak frankly about this matter. Are you ready for the answer? Are you ready? You're entitled to have sex. Whether you're a man or a woman or anything in between, you're entitled to have sex. There. I said it. Well, that's out of the way. Wasn't that easy? When you visit online forums and read their contents, that is, thousands of messages written by hundreds of people, the general consensus on this issue is the same. It's a resounding yes. You're entitled to have sex. So it's not just me on a podcast making this up, and it's not just you thinking it. Others believe like you and I do. You are also entitled to feel annoyed, lost, angry, frustrated, and disappointed. You are allowed to feel these things. Now you know you can, and should, what do you do about it? On one hand, you're entitled to feel bad that you've lost the sexual component of your life. On the other, you have to contend with a living, breathing human being to get that sex. Making demands will get you nowhere, no matter how much you try to justify yourself. Communicating your thoughts and wishes needs to be done in the most delicate of ways. If you are going to regain what you've lost, you have to be careful how and where you tread. But it's hard to do that, right? It's hard to be that delicate and careful when there's so much negative energy going on. The two are at odds with each other. Depending on how long it's been going on and how much frustration is being stored in your frustration bank, being nice is a hard thing to do. Besides that, it's unromantic to beg or to negotiate for sex. For some, it's downright demoralizing. The longer it goes on, the worse it gets, and the harder it is to manage the three worlds, they being yours, you and your partner's intimacy, and then your words. I reached the end of my emotional limits just a couple of years into our marriage. Not only did I get sad and disappointed and all of that stuff, it was just the tip of the iceberg for what was to come later on. It grew and festered into something else. I got furious. I also fell into a deep depression, trying to wrangle my emotions against my needs and desires, while trying to keep a happy facade in place, ready for the rest of the world to enjoy, including my wife. It just doesn't work keeping that level of emotion inside us forever. Something has to burst. My advice for you is to seek help before it does that. I know it sounds like a boring old cliche, but we've already said that it's a delicate issue to handle. It's hard to get the words right when you're an emotional wreck yourself. It's almost impossible to do it alone, and the likelihood of doing more damage without help is high. You can't unsay what's been said. You need help to find a way to say it properly. Professional therapists are trained to take a safe path through the mess. You let them handle the navigational bit and then follow their lead. Be prepared to listen first and listen last. Don't try and dominate the discussions. You've already said a lot simply by showing up to therapy and asking for help. I guess the first challenge is finding the right therapist, because if you don't, you won't have a chance at all. Therapists are people too. Sometimes they come with their own baggage and, inadvertently, it spills into their work lives. They're not supposed to do that, but they are human, just like you. You'll just have to do your best when screening for one. Don't choose the first one you find. Do some homework. This is your marriage's future you're investing in. You want to get it right. Right? The next thing I should advise you about is something of guarantees. There are none. Despite picking the right kind of counsellor who knows how to be delicate, to tread carefully, and says and does all the right things, and you listen with all the care and respect you can muster, it can still fail. It's not because you failed or the therapist failed. It's because there's nothing there. It happens. Your partner has nothing left to give. Just as you are entitled to want sex, they are entitled to reject it. Sometimes the counselling reveals awful truths. This is about the time when you realise monogamy is a total bitch. Oh well, at least you know and you've tried your best. What you do with the new information is up to you. As we've said many times before on the podcast, the options ahead are to divorce and find someone else more compatible, to stay and find a sex friend with or without your partner's knowledge or consent, or to stay in the marriage and endure it without sex forever. I know what I did. After 4 years of counselling, I ended it. If I was honest, it probably ended a long time before that, and neither of us knew. Hell, it might have ended before it started, and we were just going through the motions from day one. These things are hard to measure, but I do know it came to an end. She said it was over too. It was really difficult, as we had to do all the financial separation stuff. I changed my lifestyle completely. After our home sold, I bought a yacht and lived on it in a marina. I knew I wanted to change, but I didn't expect such a radical one. But it was a spontaneous decision encouraged by a friend of mine. It was a great decision, and it led me into a life of total independence. I taught myself how to sail, and I went and took my new home to places on the sea. I saw some fantastic skies and met some wonderful people along the way. I began writing a book about a sexless marriage, the one I'd left behind. I'd sail by day and write by night. When I think about it, I've achieved quite a lot for someone who had fallen so far. I'm proud to have made it back to the land, safe and sound, and mentally strong again. But it didn't come easy. It took time. Basically, I put myself into that novel. If you've been following this podcast, I've given you little clues about what is true and what isn't. My website contains clues too. In fiction, I can protect the guilty while revealing the extent of the disaster that unfolded over those 10 awful years. I was entitled to sex. My wife was entitled to do anything but sex. We were both entitled to divorce. And that was that. My novel is called Seethings, and it's free. You can download it from smashwords.com, and it's a digital book. Read it on an iPad or on your mobile phone or computer. There are a multitude of digital formats that'll suit any device. Download it now, and you'll have it within seconds. If you'd like to make a comment on this or any other episode of the podcast, feel free to drop me a message on michaelformanwriting.com. That's michaelformanwriting.com. Well, that's almost it for my podcast episode today. It's been a little while in the making. I always find it hard to talk about this particular topic. It's such a sensitive one. I know I've written about it many times before, and I do manage to speak and get something of it recorded for you. But sharing a little myself is not easy to do. It's not that I don't want to talk about it. It's a very lonely little world in this corner of the internet. And it's not a glamorous corner either, not at all. While some people are out there influencing others to buy a white teeth kind of lifestyle, showing the goals that can be achieved if you dare to dream, there are others out here who are struggling to live in a real world with real world issues like sexless marriages. There are folks out there who are hurting and can't say anything to anyone about their situation, least of all their partners. That person might be you. Maybe hearing my voice and telling you a little about my story with a sexless marriage might be able to, I don't know, smooth over something in your troubled life. At least for a few moments of the day. Wherever you are in the world, day or night, I hope your life improves soon. But just remember, it can always rain on your parade. See you later.